Hello and welcome to pod 26 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, the Palace app, eagles.cpfc.co.uk, and on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, not yet TikTok, but we're working on it. Right, what have we got on today's show? Later on, we've got Roy's press conference. We speak to some Fantasy Premier League experts. Scott Guyatt runs us through what the players do in a three-game week, which we've had this week. And we've also got Statman. He's up first. I've moved him to the top of the order this time. Now, in this, he goes off on a tangent about my not that successful unsuccessful acting career. Apologies about that. We just don't have time on a Friday afternoon to edit out all the boring stuff. I'm actually sat in here with the guy who's going to edit this, Dominic. Dom, are you looking forward to editing the podcast this week?
I cannot wait.
Wow, that's the enthusiasm I love from my employees. Right, let's head to enemy territory with Statman.
I'm a stat man.
Yes, that's right. Today we are in the away dressing room at Selhurst Park. Hello, Statman. How are you? Are you feeling better this week?
Yeah, I am, Chris. I'm very well, thanks. What I will say is, I did listen to that last recording, that last pod. It tore into me a bit.
In what way?
Well, I mean, I've made a few notes, if you will, just to start with. Started off with, I think I was called Scrappy. Scrappy. You were blown away by Sam Jordan filling in for me and his Microsoft Word document.
Oh, yeah, you've got your scrappy bit of paper there, yeah.
Yeah, because what I will say, this is showbiz, you know? This is radio, this is podcasting. Well, you don't need to know how it is here, so long as we get it delivered. So that was number one. Lazy, I think I was called for not having FA Cup stats.
Yeah, that's true.
And then called a woman.
A woman?
Yeah, that
Why?
Happened, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it, but I'm not a woman.
So why did I call you a woman?
I think Sam was alluding to it. He was saying, oh, is he a man?
Is he said we don't know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we do know. I mean, that's a lot of investment that's gone in to change my voice, if that's the case. But yeah, torn apart I was.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah,
it's great to have you back. Yeah. I hope you are feeling better because you were poorly.
Yeah, how was it? I tell you what, you can never have a sick day in Grierson's department, can you? Never had a sick day since...
Generally can't, no.
97? When was the last Chris Grierson sick day?
A long time ago. Don't do sick days.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough, mate. Well...
Right, so let's talk about where we are. So we're in the main area of the away dressing room.
Yeah.
It's not very nice, is it?
It's not. So this is... So on a match day for our sponsors' tours, we're never allowed in here. And I never think it's that bad a thing because these away dressing rooms are dreadful. Let's not beat around the bush. If you've played Sunday League football, the away dressing rooms at Selhurst Park are going to be worse than that. They really are. These are bog standard. And so they should, is what I will say. So they should, because why would you give the away team an advantage?
Yeah, you say that, but just looking statistically, home form...
Yeah, it's not been great.
It's not working, is it?
We need to tear this place up some more then, don't we?
No, while we need to. Maybe we should give it a lick of paint while we're in it. There's that big pillar in the middle of it, so that...
Yeah.
I heard it was a psychological... thing. But no, I can confirm that is solid. So that's not fake.
Yeah.
That is actually keeping the ceiling up. I heard it was a psychological thing to stop the away team. So when they're giving a team talk, they can't see everyone at the same time. But I think that might be a myth.
Well, I've heard the same thing. And I say it anyway, so it might be a complete lie. That time that Cantona got sent off and did his kung fu kick, I heard he didn't hear because he was stuck behind this pole at halftime when Fergie told him to calm down.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
That's a complete lie.
Okay, right, into the toilets we go. Showers, quite nice.
Yeah.
Different tile. The rest of the dressing room, the toilet area is white tiles with a red and blue strip. And this is actually some quite nice grey slate. Not slate, but trying to be.
It looks nicer, it looks newer. It's still intimidating, though. I tell you what, you're in there, you're exposed, aren't you?
Well, I think you're in any shower, you're exposed. But yeah, I can't group shower, I wouldn't do that. No. In here, how about that?
Yeah.
Do you remember last time there was one urinal in the home dressing room?
Yeah.
How many here?
Maybe that's the problem. Two. Double the urinals here. Maybe that's the problem with our home form.
Not enough urinals.
Not enough urinals for the players. And then how many cubicles?
Two cubicles.
Yeah. Yeah. All in working nick. Two taps as well. But that is literally it. We've described the entire changing room there. It's then just a bench that goes all the way around. Like we said, pole in the middle. Big old... It's a column, really. It's not a pole. It's a column that blocks off a lot of players when the manager's giving his team talk. And brilliant. I think it's wonderful. Although, as you say, it's probably not working.
No, and it's actually really annoying for me how small it is, because what they do is that sometimes when not all the interview rooms are full, they're given one of those to store equipment in. Mm. And when they do, they still get the nice big interview room, and I'm left with the piddly one on the end.
Do they not know who this guy is?
No.
Do they not?
Quite frankly.
No.
No one does. Have a sit down.
Right. Okay.
And while we're in here, stat me.
Right, okay. You want to go straight in then, do you?
I do, yeah.
You've got time to kill. Let's go straight in.
Oh, no, we haven't talked about the fact you're at the top of the order today.
Yeah, I mean, is that an apology? For what you said to me? For slagging me off?
No, I just figured, you know, it's nice for new listeners to hear that there's a bit of chat involved and not just interviews that we've recycled off of Palace TV.
Yeah, there is a lot of that, isn't there? And interviews and, yeah. The conference, that's the big one. Pre-match presser.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing that at the end. I've just come from the press conference, actually.
Nice. Well, don't give anything away, mate. That's all to come.
I don't have to give it away. It's the same every week. Okay, right, what have you got?
Right, what I will say is, before I go into these stats, huge disclaimer here. If you're listening to this and it's Friday night and you're thinking about getting a ticket still available?
Don't know. It's not sold out, no.
It's not sold out. I imagine you might be able to. I don't know.
I think I took it off the box office phone message, but only because I'm not sure whether you can buy over the phone, but you might be able to buy on the gate.
Okay.
It wasn't sold out from Palace.
Okay. Well, what I will say is that's probably a good thing, because you don't want to listen to this. If you're in the coach, you're going out. I wouldn't normally say that about podcasts. Don't listen to this. But these stats, they're horrific. They're really, really bad.
Yeah, I had an inkling, because I actually read the preview article on the website.
Yeah.
That the guys write in the content team, and it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. There's not much positivity here. I mean, I might as well. Do you want me to just jump in and we'll get this?
Yeah,
we'll get
do
this,
it. Like,
like a Band-Aid, rip it off quick.
Like a cold swimming pool, just get straight in. No, up around the knees and going, ooh.
Straight in. You do that, don't you? You're the kind of guy that goes into a cold swimming pool slowly.
I am, and it's exactly what I did last week. I went to Spain, and we went to this like outdoor spa bit, and there was a cold plunge pool.
Yeah.
Both my mates just went straight in it. I went in, got my ankles cold, and then went straight back into the hot one.
Yeah. Is that? Did you? You seem to not have got offended at all by that. Have you ever been called the kind of guy that gets into a cold swimming pool slowly?
No, I haven't, but I am. So it's not news to me. You're right.
No offense there. Okay. Right. Well, let me get in then. So. Palace Newcastle, why are the stats so bad? Well, that's because we've only won once in the last 16 matches against Newcastle in all competitions. One win in 16. Not great.
Good win though, wasn't it, that one win?
Great win. Do you know when it was?
Wasn't it 5-1?
No. Yes, that was. Sorry, that was, 5-1, which was our biggest home win at the time, 5-1. But our last away win at Selhurst Park, at St James's Park, do you know when that was?
I was going to say, our last away win at Selhurst Park would probably be in against Wimbledon in the early 90s. But last away win, St James's Park, can't remember.
This was probably you. You were right on the terraces at this stage. 1998. 2-1 win, Shearer for Newcastle, Lombardo and Janssen for Palace.
Oh, I've interviewed both of them.
There you go.
No, I haven't. I haven't interviewed Matt Janssen. I got Jim Daly to do that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
take it back.
Okay. Well, anyway, 2-1 win regardless. Huge win at St James Park. But, like we say, record isn't great there. So, recently as well, this is why I put the disclaimer out there for anyone thinking about getting tickets or travelling up there and is excited and wants to remain excited. We haven't even scored in 6 out of the last 7 games at Newcastle now.
And you could, even if we did, you wouldn't be able to see it from the away end.
No. I went there a few years back. I've got asthma, put it out there. I've got asthma, needed my inhaler by the time I got up there. Haven't used it for 3 years, but St. James's Park made me use my inhaler.
Did you have it with you?
I did.
Well done.
I know. Always be prepared, Chris.
You can die from asthma, can't you?
You can. Yeah. That'd be a dreadful way to go, wouldn't it? St. James's Park killed me. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
I just remembered. It's totally unrelated. I remember the last game I went to at St. James's Park, walking back through the city afterwards, and this very large Geordie guy who was very drunk was walking along, and he just threw up on the street without like breaking his stride. He just carried on walking, threw up. Some guys clapped him. He turned around and said, "Room for one more now," and then carried on walking.
Oh, what a sight. How old were you? I bet that made a huge impression on you.
This was like while I was working at Palace.
Oh, this was recently?
Yeah, recently.
God, I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? That's the difference. That's what we're up against right there. That is what we're up
positivity,
against.
Though. Positive fans. Room for one more.
Absolutely. Went straight through. Well, on that note, room for one more.
Room for another bevy, no?
Yeah, well, it probably would have been. But impressive how central it is, isn't it?
Yeah, very. It's pretty cool that it's right in the middle of town.
Yeah.
War Cathedral.
Yeah. On that note, by the way, cool stadiums. Your thoughts on Wednesday night? Not the result, the stadium. I'm guessing you're working at.
Yeah.
Hands straight up. Who'd like to work? Oh, Chris Grierson wants to work a midweek game.
Yeah, pulled rank on that one. Yeah, I was doing that. Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Really amazing. Like the actual inside, the stadium, as they call it, the stadium bowl. Mm. The stand behind the goal, that really steep
south
one.
Stand.
Yeah. Loads of noise from that.
Yeah.
Until 20 minutes in when they all stopped.
Yeah. The steepest in Europe, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That was impressive. Press facilities, very nice. Food, I thought it was going to be the best in the league. It was more like the food that it was at White Hart Lane. Vegan option, I mean, I was expecting, because I heard they've got a cheese bar. I know obviously that's not vegan, but loads of other...
Yeah.
No, pizza at half time, which meant this young vegan was hungry.
I saw your interview with Max Mayer, by the way, and you bonded over, what was it, on almond
non-dairy
milk.
Non-dairy milk.
Yeah. You enjoyed that one, didn't you?
Yeah, loved it. Been looking forward to that for a while.
Yeah. Can we just on that vegan note, sorry, I did a bit of research, okay? I Googled Chris Grierson, okay?
Yeah.
Now, it took me straight to a YouTube clip, a showreel, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
4 minutes 42 of your life that I would recommend you spend watching this.
I'm going to take it down. I think I've taken it down recently.
Oh, no, mate. It is up. It is up. Now, can we get confirmation here as a vegan?
This is my commercial reel.
There were a few things. There was Hollyoaks, which I make reference to most episodes. I finally saw it, which was glorious, 2005.
Yeah.
Alongside the guy that was in Renford Rejects. Did you ever watch Renford Rejects on Nickelodeon?
Was he in Renford Rejects?
Yeah. The guy you're talking to in the showreel. He might even be in Hollyoaks.
I mean, the guy I'm in with it is one of my best mates. That's who I was in Spain with.
Oh.
I didn't know he was in Renford Rejects. Doesn't he just look... Anyway, I'll look it up afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, yeah. Is he one of your best mates?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, well, I'll fill in now. As Chris Grierson is Googling, he's searching his best mates. He's putting in Rejects, Renford, and we've got nothing.
No. I think he looks like the guy that was in it.
Oh, that's embarrassing, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. Wasn't done with the showreel. Moving through. There's a scene in there, which, before we get to the commercials, I want to discuss this scene, okay? Now, I don't know what film it is. I don't know what TV show, but you're in a car. I'll describe it. You're driving through. It's wet. It's windy.
Oh, yeah.
It's dreadful. Hold on here. Hold on a sec. You're driving through, okay? Rain's lashing down. There's a lady on the side of the road. Chris Grierson, he pulls in, he picks her up. Now, I think, oh, that's all fine, he's doing a lovely thing. It then becomes clear to me you've picked up an escort.
No, it was an advert for the Dutch army. And it's supposed to say...
What?
So what happens is, there's two options, right? Either you break down,
yeah,
okay, and either you fix the car...
Yeah.
And if you can work out how to fix it, you drive off and then a beautiful lady is hitchhiking and you let her in the car and then we smile and drive off. The alternate ending is I can't fix it.
Yeah.
And then a Land Rover full of scary looking hillbillies pick me up instead and then they all start looking at me and it looks like deliverance.
One bloke's got his eye on you. But what we'll say, just
that was an official advert for the Dutch army.
I tell you what, you're not turning that down when the Dutch army come knocking.
I got paid like Two grand, flew to Amsterdam for 3 days.
You're in the wrong job, aren't you? Well, you were in the right job, but...
I was.
But yeah. Your heart's in it now, anyway, and you don't want to be doing those. Just quickly, I'm still not done. On the woman one, it does insinuate that she's an escort, though, because she takes her coat off, and you look at her in a way. That's all that comes up. There's nothing... Didn't have to sign in and be over 18 on this. It just... It looks wrong.
There's an alternate ending. Well, no, one that they didn't put in, where we end up at a restaurant and I'm popping champagne.
Okay.
I actually have to speak Dutch in it. When I go up to the car, I go, "Ken ik mee rijden?" And that's Dutch for, "Can I ride with you?"
Have we still got this? You can find the files, can't you?
No, that's in the final version.
Oh, okay. It wasn't in the showreel, though. That's what
is
I mean.
Is it not? I think I trimmed it down.
Yeah, I thought so. Then quickly, sorry. Before we move back to the stats.
God. Trevor, you've
been talking about me for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, this could go on. Vegan, yeah. KFC advert.
Two KFC.
Did you or did you not? Were you in a KFC advert? Did you star in two?
Two different KFC adverts. Yeah, but no, I starred in them as a carnivore. Okay. Omnivore. Then.
Does that make it all right?
Yeah, it was before I saw the error of my ways.
Okay. Because you take a huge bite of crispy chicken in it.
Yeah, but I spat it out every time. You have a bucket to spit it in.
How many times did you eat it?
25 takes.
Oh, that's horrendous.
Yeah.
But yet you came back for more because there's two KFC ads.
Yeah. The other one, yeah, I got really paranoid about how I was holding the burger because I got funny hands. weirdly, the girl sat opposite me in the restaurant while I was taking the bite. The other actress, she spent the whole time moaning about how immoral KFC was with chickens. And I thought, well, don't take the money then.
Yeah.
And now look at me.
And she's,
right, yeah. Back to football.
Sorry. Back to football. I'm so sorry. Right. So we're on Newcastle. Dreadful run at St James's Park. Newcastle, what's their form like at the moment? Really, really good. Won 5 in a row at home. So they are licking their lips. And in those 5 games, they've scored at least twice in every match. So, I mean, it really doesn't bode well. Let me throw another one at you. Well, a question you might say is like, well, how have the Magpies done against teams around them?
How have the Magpies done against teams around them?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a record against the bottom 9. They've only lost once in 12 league games against sides in the bottom 9. So, doing pretty damn well against them. Should we have a positive one? We can try. You don't like this one, though, whenever I quote London teams. You just make that irrelevant. So you don't want that one, do you?
Yeah, what does it mean? It's because there's loads of good teams in London, exactly. Apart from Fulham.
Harsh, but yeah. Apart from Fulham, they've now got relegated, yes. Okay, I'll skip that one out. They've only the current bottom 3 have scored fewer goals than the 31 that Rafa Benitez's side have scored. So, you know, overall this season, they haven't been putting the ball in the back of the net that much, but recently at home, like I said, at least 2 goals in every game. So, I mean, I'm just really not very confident about this one. And the man to watch, probably Solomon Rondon. He's been involved in 6 goals in his last 5 home league appearances. So, yeah, one to look out for. What about Palace, though, eh? Let's have some positive ones. So
I'm saying we're already on 17 minutes. Come on.
Sorry, mate. This is what happens when you bill me first, isn't it? You'll never do this again.
No. I'm thinking of cutting the bit where I say you go first, so we can move you to the end.
Okay, God, that's ruthless, isn't it? This is live broadcasting right here. Palace, then, it's 3 wins and 3 defeats in their past 6 games. So we've alternated victory with defeat now for 6 games in a row. Obviously lost our last game, so can we then keep that run going and make that a win? Win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, win. That would be nice.
That would be lovely.
Yeah. Right, and let's finish off with this one. And that is that actually away from home, it's not so bad for us. So we've scored 13 away goals in 2019, which is the most in the league, along with Watford.
Wow. Yeah. That's good. Anything from Dan Blundell from the box office this week?
Yeah, there is actually. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is that the one that's written in a pen at the bottom?
Yeah.
And not printed off of Opta?
Unfortunately... my favourite record came to an end on Wednesday night against Tottenham.
Oh, is it the 1-0s?
No, not the 1-0s. It was that we were the only Premier League team to score in every competition in 2019.
Oh, that's annoying. Did you know the 1-0 one?
What was the 1-0 one?
So Spurs, before Wednesday night, had beaten us 1-0 5 times in a row.
Oh, well, we stopped that one at least, didn't we?
Yeah. I was just thinking, yeah, that's definitely right.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, that one as well. Yeah, that didn't happen. But yeah, that was a slight negative one. But on the whole, I mean, that's what it is. Predictions-wise, I'll tell you, Mark Lawrenson thinks we're going to lose 2-1. Scott Mills puts us down for a 2-2 draw. I'm going to be positive, 0-0.
Okay, I'm not going to give one because no one cares what I think.
Yeah. Oh, mate, come on.
Just a failed former Dutch Army advert actor.
And KFC.
Yeah, thanks for that. Right, you may be scrappy, but you make me happy. Bye, Statman. Statman there in the very, very, very long Statman section. Apologies if it was too long, but I mean, if you loved it, well, hey, you're having a lovely week. So moving on from Statman to the fitness man, Scott Guy, head of sports science and strength and conditioning and everything fitness related. He's been at the club for years now. We caught up with him this week to talk about how the players cope with a 3-game week. We turned it into a video, which you can watch on YouTube. But here is the raw footage from the chat we had. Scott, first of all, can you tell me when there's just a Saturday game followed by a Saturday, what's the usual training schedule?
Usual training schedule is off Sunday, in Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, and in Thursday, Friday. So we call that a 2-day lead-in. So we basically have 2 days into the leading up to game.
So with a normal week, on a Monday, is that a recovery day?
Yeah, usually. I mean, we call it a pitch-based recovery. So the lads are still on the pitch, but they do less in terms of training content than what the lads that didn't play do.
And obviously this week we've got a 3-game week, mm-hmm. So Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. How does the schedule change for that?
Well, obviously the players that are involved in all 3 games, it tends to be all about recovery. So they don't do that much on the pitch. The most difficult thing in weeks like this is you know, dealing with the players that aren't playing and trying to get in enough training into them without it compromising, you know, them playing in the game, potentially. So this week's not too bad. We played Saturday at home, so there's no travel. And then we've got a London game on the Wednesday. So we've got, you know, 3 games between Saturday's game and Wednesday's game. The real difficulty this week will be that turnaround after the Tottenham game going into Newcastle, because it's an even shorter turnaround.
And I know a lot of fans probably think that at the end of the game, everyone goes into the dressing room and goes home, mm-hmm. but after the fans have left, you're back out on the pitch, aren't you, with the players that didn't play? What are you doing with them?
Yeah, so we obviously we've got a squad of 25 players at the moment. We've got good availability, so everyone's fit bar mama. So we have to try and get work into those players that haven't been involved. So Saturday morning, there'll be a group in at the training ground, and they will do some training here. They're the players that aren't in the squad. And then the players that are in the squad but don't get any game time or get limited game time will do some running on the pitch after the game. And that's just to make sure that come sort of Sunday evening, when we sort of, you know, the new week starts, that everyone is in a similar position or as close as possible to where they would have been if they had played.
Now, if it looks like a player who didn't play on the Saturday is going to play on the Wednesday, are you given a heads up early on so you know how to prepare them?
Yeah, pretty much. We, you know, they may do some extra work on Saturday after the game and then do less work in the lead up to the game, so on the Monday and Tuesday. But with this week, for example, the lads that didn't play, they'll train on Monday and Tuesday, which is kind of like it replicates pretty much a normal week, a 2-day lead-in. They train Monday and Tuesday. So there's not much variation. What we do the day before a game is pretty much standard, whether it's a 2-game week, a 3-game week, whether we play Wednesday or whether we play Tuesday. But the day before a game like today, for example, will be the same whether it's a Friday or a Tuesday.
And the players that are likely to play in all 3 games in the week, what will they be doing the day after the Spurs game?
Day after the Spurs game, well, this week, because it's a 3-game week, we'll take them. We've got the use of David Lloyd and Beckenham. So just to break the week up, we'll tend to take them down to David Lloyd, and they'll jump on the bikes in there, they'll jump on the foam roller, and they'll all be in the pool afterwards. And it just breaks the week up a little bit. You know, it's a different environment for them, somewhere where they can go in, have a little bit of breakfast, coffee, have a chat, Hopefully enjoy it a little bit after a win. But it's just somewhere different for them, and they'll do their recovery down there. We will possibly do that with the lads who don't play as well. We'll do some running with them on the pitch after the game. And if the manager is happy for them to go down to David Lloyd, they'll go down to David Lloyd as well.
How do you monitor how much they're doing in training?
So they'll all wear GPS. Most clubs now, Premier League down to, you know, I've seen a lot of leagues, one, league two clubs wearing GPS. So they're constantly tracked, whatever they do. The minute they step onto the grass, they're tracked, and we know exactly what they're doing in terms of volume, high speed running, sprint distance, accelerations, decelerations. So that's pretty standard practice now at most clubs. The lads are used to that now. So we're in a good routine. Roy's very good. He has a very similar routine every week, and that doesn't vary much. So that's quite good for us.
And finally, after the third game, is there a bigger rest than usual after that?
Yeah, well, going into, so post-Saturday against Newcastle, we don't play till the following Sunday. So lucky for us, we'll be able to give the lads Sunday and Monday off. And then we will just push that week back one day. So then our Tuesday becomes our Monday and so forth. So we would then train Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll be off Thursday. And then we'll train Friday and Saturday into the Sunday game.
So from actual football to fantasy football. Last week at Selhurst Park, before the game against Huddersfield, I caught up with two fantasy Premier League experts. One guy, Andrew, won it in the 2004-05 season. He had Andy Johnson in his side. And the other guy, James, who's top of the Palace League and at the time of doing this interview was 30th in the world. So I chatted to both of them to find out how I stopped being so rubbish at the game. Hello and welcome to Selhurst Park, where I'm joined by two Palace fans and Fantasy Premier League experts, Andrew and James. Andrew, first of all, you won it in 2004-05. We had an article on the website this week on you. How's the reaction been to that?
Well, I've sent it to all my friends, even the non-football supporting friends, and the response has been quite... they've been astounded by the coverage that it's had from many years ago. They've been hearing me bang on about it for many, many years, and it's nice to, that they see the recognition that it finally deserves.
Now, to a lot of people, they might think that you're walking around with a T-shirt with your own face on it, but that's actually Andrew Johnson. He won it for you, didn't he?
21 goals that season. Had him in right from the beginning. Absolutely smashed it for Palace that season. My favourite ever player at Palace, and rightly so. All the points he got helped me win it, as well as Palace legend.
Now, James, you're top of the Palace League, about 30th in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
And you've gone Palace heavy this week. You've got Michy, Batshuayi, Defente, Guaita in your team.
Are you
feeling confident?
I'm feeling extremely confident. No disrespect to Huddersfield. I think the win is behind Palace's sails at the moment. I think we're going to do a really good job. I think same goes for Tottenham, really. It's a double game week, obviously. I'm feeling really confident about that. I think although it's a new stadium for Kane, etc., I think we might still clinch that game, actually. So, yeah, I'm really confident, actually.
Who's been the best player for you so far this season?
It's got to be Aguero. It's got to be Aguero. He's just consistent. He gets the minutes. He doesn't play the international game, so he too seems to get the Champions League games. Obviously, I think he's already got a goal and assist this week, which is great. I'm a little bit apprehensive about the triple captainers, but, yeah, I'm still very confident about that, yeah.
Now, Andrew, how's the game changed in 15 years?
I think I was reminded when I went on the FPL site that it could have a 2-5-3 formation in those days. There's none of the additional chips that you could have. There's no stress or win to play your free hit and all the rest of it. But and also the information. I was going by stats on the site. There's no Twitter in those days. It was looking at match of the day and having a spreadsheet to do the stats. So, yeah, very different in terms of analytical, but same, you know, it's players that are scoring the goals.
And you've had a stressful running with it before. What advice have you got for James as he nears the final stretch?
I think, he's right up there. Still got a good chance of getting up there. Use this, use the captains well, and trust the gut. Trust your gut. I'm glad to see that he's picked some Palace players for this week. I think they'll have a good run in and do well for him. Keep on going and trust your gut.
So how are you feeling? Are you feeling the fear, or are you as cool as Luca taking a penalty?
I'm fairly confident at the moment. I think, like I said in the previous article, maybe I've taken a big step back this year on the sort of stats. I appreciate the stats are really, really important. understanding like any players that are maybe playing out of position, etc. But I think what really hampered me last season was just getting way, way too deep and entrenched and sort of following the crowd and being more of a sheep. So I have been templatey, but just basically, yeah, I play the game based on my gut. And hence this week going with Palace, you know, being here on the day, it's kind of written in the stars now. So Batman, you better score, right?
And finally, how great would it be to be the second Palace fan ever to win it?
It's amazing. I'm trying to stay as level-headed as possible and not assuming I'm going to win. But yeah, it's getting so close now. But I just, the only way I think I'm going to continue, you know, doing well is by being consistently cool, level-headed about it. I think if I let the heat get to me, I think that's when I'll start chasing points maybe and making the wrong decisions. So I'm just trying to pretend that I'm like 250,000th in the world and just playing it that way, week in, week out, rather than thinking, oh, I'm only 20 points off the top or whatever it is. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for talking to us. And hope you enjoy the game today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
What a lovely pair of blokes. Now moving over to a very lovely man, Roy Hodgson, speaking to the world's media.
Roy, can I start with some injury news, please?
No, we're okay. Same as before. Mamadou Sakho, of course, is the one that we can't use. Otherwise, we have a full squad to choose from.
Could you clear up something about Andros Townsend? There was a report that he hit his hand while he was acting in a frustrated fashion, having set up a few chances for teammates. They'd not been taken. He injured his hand, and that's why he didn't start against Tottenham. Is that right? Have we read that correctly?
Yes, you have. I mean, I don't think he was frustrated because passes to teammates hadn't been taken. I think he was basically frustrated with himself and his own performance, and unfortunately punished himself by hitting his hand on the dugout wall, and has got a self-inflicted injury, but luckily it's not an important injury and it's not one that stops him playing. And I suppose it's a lesson that we all have to learn. Don't lose your temper if you can help it. And if you do lose your temper, try not to hurt yourself.
Got a tough run of games, obviously Newcastle away, you've got City home, Arsenal away. Is there a concern within the club that, you know, if those games don't go to plan, you could get dragged in it, you know, when we probably thought you were safe?
Well, I think to answer that, I have to say we haven't actually gone out saying we think we're safe. You know, I can't stop the sort of general opinion that's out there and the sort of thoughts that are being propagated, I suppose, by the people who follow, saying, oh, Crystal Palace, you'll be okay, you'll be safe. We've never actually thought that. We realise we need more points, and we also realise that we're going to be coming across some very, very good teams, which will make it very hard for us to get those points, like we found on Wednesday night against a very strong Tottenham team. But that's part and parcel of the business, and the important thing for us is to keep making certain that we are in a position to give our best when we go on the field, that we remain modest and prepared for the worst when we meet these teams, and hopefully can start producing some of our best football, because we know that on the days when we produce our best football, we're a match for any of the teams in the league.
What have you made of Newcastle this season? It's been a difficult campaign for them in some ways, but like yourselves, it looks like they'll just about have enough to preserve status.
Yes, I've never doubted that Newcastle will be one of the teams that will be capable of saving themselves from relegation. I think they have an incredible stadium and support up there. They have a good team. They're very, very strong at home, which we're aware of course, going up there to play them. So I've got no doubt that they will be safe at the end of the season. But I also have no doubt that Benitez, as an experienced manager like myself, will be taking nothing for granted and certainly won't be counting any chickens until such time as it's mathematically certain that they can't be relegated.
For the likes of yourselves and Newcastle, has the Premier League to some degree become existential now, where it's just so important to just stay in it and a mid-table finish is viewed as success now, whereas 30 years ago it probably wasn't?
Yeah, I think it's a relevant point. I think it's a good point. It is a fact of life that staying in the Premier League is basically the be-all and end-all for us all when we start the season. And we know also that it's going to be a fight to achieve that goal. If you can do better than that and, you know, get yourself higher up the table, that's in many ways for many of us a bonus. So I don't think we can deny that. I think everyone's coming to terms with that. The top six, you know, with their enormous financial resources and the quality of their players, not least of all the stadium now. You know, the top six are playing in stadium which take 40 to 80,000 people. The rest of us, some of us, even like poor Bournemouth, they can't even, you know, they're just about getting into double figures and doing a magnificent job on it. So I think everyone understands that staying in the league is the be-all and end-all. And it's never going to be easy. And that's why we don't take anything lightly going into these last six games. We realise we've got to be fighting and battling and doing all the things we're going to need to do just to get those extra points on the board and then be able to say, OK, we're safe for another season, and then start planning for that.
Deep down, though, has it given you a little bit of peace of mind in as much as a manager can actually ever get that? The fact that knowing that two of the places, it looked fairly obvious from, say, yeah, Christmas onwards, that there were 19 yes, and 20 were going to be yeah, taken, and so we're looking at probably four or five into one, that final place.
Yes, I think there's no doubt about that either. I think everyone understands that, and, you know, I'm afraid there's quite a few of us looking over our shoulders. There always will be, until such time as, you know, you can relax knowing that the teams below you can't catch you. There's an element of realism, you know, we look at the fixtures, each other's fixtures, and we realise how hard it's going to be to get points, because the bottom line is that when you go and you play these top teams, you've mentioned Man City, you've mentioned the Arsenal, we've just played Tottenham Hotspur, you know, you are playing against teams really that start with a huge advantage in terms of their playing personnel and the quality of their staff. So we come to terms with that, we work at it, we do our best. It's going to be another tough game on Saturday, but we'll take each game as it comes. That's all we can do, and keep believing that we'll be preparing at the end of this season for yet another year in the Premier League, which, if you're Crystal Palace, and you're going into, what is it, 7 years now, is it?
Okay.
Yeah, going to be the seventh one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad achievement, you know, to be fair, seven years when... You know, when I saw Crystal Palace as a boy lose their place in the third division south and take their place in the newly formed fourth division, 7 years at the high level that we've been playing at here now would have been a pipe dream.
Might be a record, is it? Possibly.
I don't know.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll check that out later. Mm. No worries. I want to ask you, Roy, about one of your former England players. How concerned are you about Danny Rose's comments overnight? He believes racism in football isn't punished hard enough, and he can't wait until the day he quits the game. How sad is that?
Yeah, that's very sad. Very sad. I mean, Danny's an excellent player, as he showed again on Wednesday night at close range against us. I thought he played extremely well. Played well for England the other day too, and was very good in my last tournament with England in France in 2016. He was one of our better performers. So it's very disturbing that a player of that quality and at the age he is as well, because he's still relatively young, he's got an awful lot of football in him, makes that sort of decision that maybe the racism side of the game is getting so bad and getting on top of him that he's even considering leaving it all behind earlier than he should. That's very disturbing, of course. All I can say is I think at the moment the authorities are probably as aware as ever they have been of this problem. I think it's very good that people like Danny and Raheem are speaking out and making it perfectly clear to everybody. Romelu Lukaku came out strongly the other day. I think it's good that these powerful voices that people should be listening to, because these are big, big players for the fans of football clubs all over the world. And they're saying the right things. And I think the authorities will listen. But it's a bit early, I think, if we're ever going to consider more powerful measures, that's something which needs to be sat down and talked about, and it shouldn't be a knee-jerk reaction in terms of what proposals we're putting forward to deal with it. It should really be now a very, very serious discussion, and it's got to start at FIFA and UEFA level, because, you know, a lot of the problems that we're coming across, we've seen the recent one in Italy there, in Cagliari recently with Juventus. You know, they're taking place outside of our own shores, and not least of all, when our players play in UEFA competitions, Champions League, UEFA League, and national team games. And my sympathy is 100% with the players. You know, when the measures are put forward, I'll be strongly behind the players to make certain they get more protection than I believe that they feel they're getting at the moment. And it's up to us to listen to these very powerful voices, because these are people really who aren't opening their mouth to talk about it lightly. I'm certain they're thinking quite seriously before they say something quite as strong as Raheem said a little while ago, and now Danny Rose said. It would be a great tragedy for us if players of their quality are going to be lost to the game of football and the entertainment they provide. One of the things I'd like to see is that people being educated a little bit more to understand that, you know, football is entertainment. You know, even though occasionally, unfortunately, the best entertainer on the field the day you're playing happens to be playing for the other team, we still want to see those entertainers. We want to see that level of player. We want them playing in our league, because hopefully we'll have to get better if we're going to try and deal with them.
Those voices you mentioned, they're getting more powerful. People are taking them more seriously. It's obvious how they're being affected. With that in mind, could you ever imagine yourself as a coach removing your players from the field of play if it ever got so bad?
I think that, you know, that would come more from the player. You know, I think it would be the player himself who would remove himself or want to be removed from the field of play. And I certainly wouldn't be the first to be trying to push him back on there. But you must also remember that football players, they're responsible people, and they have a responsibility, they know, to their teammates. So if it's going to be a situation where players are going to leave the field, and we're all going to be sympathetic to them leaving the field when they're coming across racial abuse, then we're going to have to make certain that the authorities aren't punishing the whole team for it, because I'm certain that the players won't want to be coming off the field knowing that the team then has lost the game by 3-0 and had to forfeit the game as a result of it. It's got to be a situation where, when this happens, there's a measure in place to make certain that the action is seen as it should be seen, i.e. a very clear statement that this is not acceptable, we can't go on like this. And when that day comes, I will be one of the first to support the players. But hopefully we'll have sorted things out a little bit better before then, and hopefully UEFA and FIFA will be able to sort their house out, so that when our players go abroad to play, they don't experience it abroad.
Just finally for me on Wayne Hennessy, how relieved are you that he's been cleared of making an offensive gesture at a team gathering? Knowing what you know of him, have they reached the right verdict?
Well, we all believe 100% he's innocent. There's no question. I've said that on several occasions at our press conferences. But I also understand, and it really ties in a little bit with what we've just been talking about, when there is an incident that needs investigation, I'm fully behind the FA taking up that investigation, and I can only congratulate them on this instance, on the thoroughness of the investigation. I believe it was 8 hours yesterday that Wayne and the people there with him were, you know, arguing their case. And I'm very happy that after that very thorough investigation, he's been cleared of charges, because I've always believed him to be innocent of those charges. So I have no change in my attitude in that respect. But I think that going through the process, the FA have come out of it well, because they've shown that in an incident like this, which raises doubts, they're prepared to research it and take it as far as it needs taking. And then luckily for us, the verdict has been that he's innocent, as we have believed all along.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Who's next?
Mike,
from PLP. Hi Roy, just a couple of questions from me on two of your players. Aaron Wan-Bissaka this week has been linked with a £40 million move to Manchester United. I'm sure you're going to pour cold water on that one, but is he, knowing him as you do, is he the type of player who might have his head turned by that sort of glamour type?
It's always hard to say whether players will have their head turned by things like that, speculation of that type. I mean, I don't believe that an offer's been made. I think this is still speculation. If the question revolves around me being surprised that there's that sort of interest in him, I can't say that I'm surprised about that. I think he's playing so well and has an incredible future in front of him. But he has a 4-year contract with us, and, you know, when we asked him to sign that 4-year contract, we asked him to sign it to be a Crystal Palace player during that time. And I've not seen anything, certainly in his performances, or I've heard anything that encourages me at the moment or causes me at the moment to change my mind and have any doubts that he's going to be our player. But if that speculation comes to pass and that offer is put on the table, then it will be up to the club to make a decision, I suppose. But at the moment, I don't have any concerns in that respect.
And just finally from me, a word on James Tompkins. We've just spoken to him next door. His third season now at the club, played almost every game this season. And I've seen some fans mooting him as a Palace Player of the Season contender. Just a word on his performances this season.
Excellent. He's been excellent. He was fantastic the other night in a very difficult game for us. A lot of work to do as a centre-back against Tottenham. I thought he handled it quite brilliantly and was aided ably by Martin Kelly, who of course has come in for Mamadou Sakho. I think this year we've been very lucky to have Tompkins and Sakho as our centre-backs for the bulk of the year. And we miss Mamadou at the moment with his injury. But luckily in Martin, we've got a guy who goes in and does a very good job for us. Scott Dan too, for that matter. But Tompkins is now really having to take on the role as the senior figure. And in the last two or three games, I think he's handled that quite brilliantly. And if he's being touted as a Palace Player of the Season, I certainly wouldn't be trying to dissuade them that was a bad decision.
Cheers,
Ray. Thank you. OK,
well, just to mention Newcastle, sorry, you mentioned Newcastle and how tough it's going to be. They're particularly strong at home in 2019. Mm. What's it like going to St James's Park and how tough are you expecting it to be?
Well, whenever you go away from home, it can be a tough game. When you go to places like Newcastle, where the local fans are as football interested as they are, and that's been the case ever since I can remember. They've constructed a fantastic stadium with over 50,000 people, which they fill every week without any difficulty whatsoever. They could probably get a lot more in if the stadium was bigger. And there's no doubt that the people who go to that game have only got one thought in their mind, that's seeing their team beat you. So it's always going to be a big ask for you to go there and give the performance you need to win the game. But that's the ask that we have to deal with. We have to get ready for it. It's going to be a short turnaround for us this week. It's a three-game week. Never easy for teams like ourselves to deal with three-game week. But I'm hoping I'll see a good reaction from the performance on Wednesday, and we'll go up and give them the type of game which will enable us to get points from it.